This is becoming a big story today. Andrew Papakristos is on the phone with us. I was going to say on the air. You are on the air as well, a professor of sociology at Northwestern University. And the story is all about crime hotspots in the Chicago area. But it's not about where crime takes place. You actually looked at where police officers commit crime. Is that an accurate description, Andrew?
It's pretty accurate. Thanks for having me. Basically what we tried to do was look at publicly available information made public by the Invisible Institute to try to detect hotspots is fair enough, but crews of police officers that engage in misconduct within the Chicago Police Department. So to identify sort of the worst of the worst of groups of cops that not only engage in misconduct, but often try to conceal it or hide it, or, you know, it's a fairly accurate description, I would say.
And police often use this data to identify hotspots for criminal activity. You did the opposite. You took the data to identify the hotspots inside the department, and you identified three probable crews. And talk to us about a crew and how members who work together often act in the same manner.
So just a quick clarification. We didn't find three crews. We started with three crews. We actually found 160. So we used these three crews of known cases, including the Ronald Watts case, which is making its way through the court system right now, the case of the Skullcap crew, and the case of the Austin Seven. So three known extreme cases of cops that, again, robbed drug dealers, would sell their own drugs, would plant evidence. There were three of them, and we used those to train a statistical model to search the rest of these data to find potentially other groups that exist within the police department, and we found about 160 of them.
And so 160 of them make up what percentage of the Chicago Police Department?
Great question. It's about 4%, so it's about 1,000 or so officers that were active during this time period, but they had a disproportionate amount of violence and misconduct associated with them. So this 4%, for example, was responsible for 25% of all use of force complaints, 27% of all city payouts, and almost a quarter of all arrests of Black and Latino Chicagoans, about three times higher rates than you would find of your average officer in the police force.
And does the Chicago Police Department have interest in your study? Is it something they're looking at?
Well, I shared with them, obviously, the findings. I have had people call me today from the city. I haven't had a chance to return all of the phone calls. But, I have talked about this research in the past publicly and have given them the opportunity to talk about it. So we've started some conversations, but we'll see where they go.
How do you identify a crew, and what is the sociology behind it?
Well, when you look for a crew, the sociology behind it is a better place to start. So most delinquent or crime or behavior that involves this sort of work is group-based, whether you're talking about police or not, right? So you could be talking about street gangs or crews or delinquent peers. Most of that happens in groups. You learn them from your peers. You learn how to do these things from the people around you. And the same is true of policing. So what we did was, again, we used this approach called network science or network analysis that looked to find patterns similar to what we knew. Again, from those three cases where we started, we said, could we look in the rest of the department and raise a flag? And again, we found about 160 of these possible groups. And again, I say possible because I'm a scientist. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an investigator. This would be a starting point for an investigation, not any declaration of guilt or culpability. You would really need to go under the hood and look at the cases and see what they are. But in a great many of these cases, they've already been part of civil litigation or criminal litigation. So proven case that you can do this fairly cheaply, expensively, and transparently if you wanted to do something about this sort of behavior.
How much time did it take you to do this research?
Oh, it's a good question. Research is a very slow process. It's taken us about 2 years. And part of that process, of course, is other scientists vetting your work. It's called peer review. So we had this paper maybe a year ago, and then we submitted it to journals, and people review it, provide feedback to make sure that what we put out in the world, passes scientific muster, as it were.
This is Andrew Papakristos. He is the professor of sociology at Northwestern University, and it's a study that identifies potential crime hotspots inside the CPD. So you identified 160 potential crews between 1971 and 2018, and you said that compromises or that includes 4% of the 30,000 officers in the study. What is that percentage now in the past few years? Are you aware? Has that risen? Has it decreased? Has it changed?
I don't actually know the answer to that question. I mean, obviously people retire, people leave, the department has changed, the city has changed, but I can't answer that question just yet. That's sort of a next step. And also to understand how these crews start and how they evolve over time. Several of these crews were around the old high-rise housing projects, which are no longer there, but the officers are still on the force. So we're trying to now track to see what happens to them over time. So
it's an interesting study, and I'm surprised that somebody hasn't jumped at the chance right now to take all the research that you've done over the past couple years and find a way to solve some of these issues. Would you say that 4% of 30,000 officers is a fairly low number?
It's hard to tell. I mean, we would really need to look at other departments too, right? I think people have started to look at similar patterns in New York, New York City, of course. Chicago is large, it's a department, second largest department in the country. But it does mean, on top of it being 4%, there was a lot more that were aware of these groups and said nothing.
Is it published somewhere where people can go take a look at it?
Yeah, absolutely. We published it in PLOS One, which is an open source journal. I've already paid the fees, so people can go ahead and download it without a paywall, or they can email me. I'll gladly share it.
So PLOS, and then
PLOS One.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News. It's an interesting read. We appreciate all the research you put into it.
Great. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Steve's got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.